Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Culture Commute for Season 2. Woo!
Yeah.
Season 2, wow. They bought another season, did they?
I can't believe it either.
They've signed us on.
That's great.
That is so exciting.
This is honestly the pilot. We'll see how we go. today, I am sitting here with Chris and Gabe.
Hello,
Hi, So.
Hello.
To the season.
Hello. Yes, it's nice to be back. Yes, we had a very good holiday. And we're going to dip into 2024, talking about 2024.
I love 24.
You prefer it than 23?
I'm a big fan of twos and derivatives of two.
And multiples, like prime numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they prime numbers?
I don't think two is a prime number.
Anyway, listeners, write in. Just let us know.
One to four and then, yeah.
Okay.
But 2024, that's a good number.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great year.
How did you feel coming into the new year? What are your thoughts on 2024?
Well, it depends which new year we're talking about, but it is the year of the dragon if we're going to go with Chinese new year.
Yep.
Yes, that's first attempt, second attempt.
Yeah, first attempt. Like a false start, and then you get to go again. All the things you stuffed up in January,
yeah,
you just redo it.
Yes.
On a more serious note, Chris, tell us, how do you feel about 2024?
I'm looking forward to 2024. I came back from work and wasn't quite ready to go back to work. But now I'm back in work, I'm ready to go, raring to go.
I don't think that made any sense. You came back from work and you weren't ready to go to work, but you were back at work and now you're raring to go.
Yeah, so that makes perfect sense to me. So over the summer, summer means sun, doesn't it? But I went up to northern New South Wales and got the tail end of all of those storms and it wasn't much fun.
Yeah, you got a bit of fire and wipeout.
Yeah. I got a bit of wipeout, but anyway, that's okay. No, I'm good. I'm raring to go to work. For Interchange, what are our key priorities this year from your perspective, Gabrielle? Do you think we've got a bunch of things on the go?
Our key priorities at Interchange or in the world?
At Interchange.
Or at
you don't need to speak for the world. Maybe just Interchange.
This is a very exciting year for us, actually. We've got a heap of new projects to do, many of them which are really exciting and purpose-orientated, which I think gets everybody quite motivated and inspired. So there's a lot to do and a lot to achieve with those new pieces of work. We've got a whole heap of new people joining us, so that's going to be interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And an adventure or two, I think, we've got planned.
Yeah. So if I can paraphrase, what you're actually talking about is a lot of ins and a lot of outs.
Hey? A lot of ins and a lot of outs.
A lot of ins, a lot of outs. I don't know whether you've seen the concept of ins and outs that's hit the socials this year. Me, I've got my finger on the pulse. It's a 2024 trend. I've been out there overlooking all of the socials, and I got to say there's this crazy thing, ins and outs, going on.
Okay, now, explain it to me.
I'm not talking outs Taylor Adams, ins Lachie Schultz. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm actually talking about is the dude from The Big Lebowski, a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous, a lot of strands to keep in my head, man. You know what I'm saying?
I don't anymore.
Okay. Keep going with me. So the concept the concept of ins and outs is a little important practice that we go through. It helps us sort of reset and center ourselves in what is serving us best.
Okay.
And what isn't.
Okay.
So what can we do better and what might we just brush off and get rid of? This can be done in an organisation or it can be done on a personal level. And we, you and I, are going to cover both today.
All right.
You up for that?
Fun, yes.
All right. So a quick Google of our ins and outs on a personal level.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell you what are the big ticket items?
For you and I?
No. Just this is, again, what's happening? I've got my finger on the pulse. This is what's going on in the interweb.
Okay.
So
TikTok style.
Ins for 2024 on a personal level, early bedtimes, staying hydrated, and red light therapy.
Red light therapy. See, I would have said that was last year.
Well,
got to say,
I think this trend probably, from my understanding, what I've seen on the socials, it started last year. It's big this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of outs this year. Impulse shopping. Okay. A lot of outs and mindless phone scrolling.
Please, and if that's out. Have you ever walked down the street?
Mindless phone scrolling and vaping's also out. Just wanted to let you know. I'll let my daughter know as well. So that'll be better for all of us. Anyway, let's look at corporations 2024. organizations. What's in for the ASX 100 companies? Now, this is interesting. This is based on what their HR bosses say. So in early February, there was an article in the Australian Financial Review.
Mm-hmm. On ins and outs.
Well, kind of, yeah. HR bosses reveal this year's biggest people problems.
Oh, okay.
Was the title.
Yes, right.
Okay. What are the priority areas? You read it? Good.
Yes.
Well, you'll be an expert. So the AFR spoke to the heads of human resources, all women, at six different businesses, six of Australia's biggest companies. BHP, ANZ, Stockland, Lendlease, Medibank, Woodside. Mm-hmm. Wanted to get their thoughts on their workforce current challenges or their workforce challenges for 2024. And we got a little peek behind the curtain at some of Australia's biggest organisations. So some of the issues that were discussed in this article were their workplace challenges. And one of the issues was talent shortages. So those HR leaders that were interviewed were worried about attracting and retaining top talent due to increasing competition and skill shortages across different industries. Do you reckon it's an in or an out, talent shortages, and how do you reckon that organisations can address talent shortages in their industry or in their own business?
It's a definite in. It doesn't matter which organisation we go in to.
Good. Full stop.
The end. Talent shortage is definitely an in. We're hearing it in every organisation that we're working with at the moment, trying to find the right people that can do the tasks at hand, but also trying to find people who can lean into, I think, adaptive change. Most organisations are in a phase where they're not trying to solve the same problems that they used to. It's actually about thinking about things in a new way. And it's... Look, this is an interesting conundrum because I think what we're seeing is organisations are trying to fill roles with the same people that they've always tried to find to fill those roles. And yet, at the same time, they're saying we need to find individuals that think about things in a different way. So we're seeing some of that in some organisations. There's been a few of the banks that have gone and hired externally outside of the banking industry to try and get that new way of thinking and totally different fresh ideas, even at the executive table. But the more and more you move through an organisation, I think people are fearful of getting the wrong individuals in to do particular roles. And as a consequence, they're all fighting for the exact same talent. So those that have got the, you know, identical degrees with the highest grades and the same experience continuum as everybody else. And that's compounding that problem. I'm interested in your thoughts on, we've closed down a lot of our borders over the COVID period, and I think, yes, immigration's on the up, but we used to be able to fill a whole lot of roles through our immigration process, which has stalled. How much do you think that's having an impact?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how fast that is recovering. I got to say it feels still like a hangover from the COVID days when everything shut and even now, you can start to see the pickup in some of the, you know, the rental market pressures coming because there's immigration coming back into Australia. I think slowly that's going to change, and probably this is the year to see that switch over. But no doubt, there's still been an impact on business
as a
result.
It's not even just the legal side of it in terms of opening borders. I think there's the psychological side of it where. A lot of people just weren't in the mindset to consider a new life in a different location. And now that a lot of that is settling, I think we're going to see a massive change through 2024 of migration to into and out of Australia. I think we need another sort of 6 months to see what occurs next from a talent stance. The great thing about it is starting to challenge people's thinking about who are the potential individuals that can fill particular roles.
So there's two parts to it. The talent shortages, I guess, is, you know, attracting talent, but also retaining talent is another part to it. You know, employee development or some of the hybrid work. I know that the article mentions that ANZ has moved to link annual bonuses to office attendance. Mm. So they're trying to bring people back in, but there's also an issue with people wanting to come back or not wanting to come back into the office. How do you think businesses in 2024 can look towards retaining their staff, given some of the situation that we're in with hybrid work?
Mm.
I like to ask the big questions here on the podcast, Gabe.
It's interesting and it's tricky. So some boards and executive teams are mandating a return to work 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Some are going the other way and trying to experiment. Like we saw Medibank the other day. They've really struggled after their cyber hacking and impact on brand. They're now actually looking to move people to a 4-day working week and try out how that goes so that people actually get a full 3-day weekend. I think we're still in an experimentation phase where everybody's trying different things to see what sticks. What we have discovered, though, is that there is no one-size-fits-all for employees because every individual is different in terms of what needs they have. And so we're in a phase and a stage of compromise around what does the organisation need, where is best bang for buck in terms of having people come together in a physical space. We are social animals. There is no denying, all the research can very clearly tell us that there is a huge benefit in having people come together to collaborate. If everybody was just going to work in isolation, then it may as well be a freelancer economy where we all just charge an hourly rate for our time and do tasks. But that's not where great business ever lies. It's when people come together and they're in a space that is conducive to their collective intelligence turning into some form of great thought or innovation. That's where great business lies. Mm. So I think we've got to find the right balance. I don't know that anybody has nailed it. I think every organisation is preaching that they have in this whole war on talent concept. I think it just goes back to the good old, if you want to keep your people, treat them with respect and acknowledge the great work they do, if indeed they are doing great work, and if not, help them go find somewhere else to do that great work.
So maybe we look at hybrid as being still being worked out in 2024. The interesting thing along those lines is that sort of technological change is presenting challenges for HR, which is actually including adapting to remote work and things like implementing AI in a safe way and ensuring that data security and privacy is top-notch. So digital transformation is another thing in this article that is suggested as a challenge.
What do you think people mean by that?
Well, it's probably working from home, challenging, some of these issues of working home and adjusting in a different way to, you know, cyber issues and security and adapting to remote work and not being face-to-face.
Is it really that they're talking about cybersecurity when people are talking about digital transformation? Some organisations are talking about fundamentally transforming the entire digital interface of their business. So, for example, they're trying to link their finance system to their customer systems, to their retail systems, et cetera, so that it is one connected network that allows them to be more effective and productive. From what I have seen and observed, that seems to be the organisations that are moving from what their employees call the dark ages into the modern day.
Yeah.
So that's the digital transformation that we hear about in that way. Others are talking about how do we keep our people and our systems safe when everybody is working in different locations and so therefore there's more of a lean towards cybersecurity. And then those that are at the very mature end of the spectrum are probably talking about AI integration and a whole range of kind of machine intelligence that becomes part of that. So what do you think people are really talking about when they talk about digital transformation?
Well, here's a good segue back into our next topic is around leadership development because it's possibly deeply connected to that, the training and support to help leaders navigate some of those complex challenges with people being working remotely and some of these AI influences. Adaptive business challenges and new ways of working are challenging leadership. Leadership development is mentioned in this article, is a major priority for HR. I don't imagine it's a new in. It's probably always in and always required because of the shifts that leadership go through based on some of the external forces impacting it. What do you think in 2024 is one, some of the things that leaders do need to be aware of as they navigate a new world of leadership?
Well, surely the biggest thing's got to be adaptive change. There is nothing that is staying the same. With the amount of AI that is coming at us at the moment, I'm finding that here's a really interesting conundrum that some organisations are facing. I was going to say every organisation is facing, right? Often people end up in the most senior roles in a business because of their technical capability to have done that job in the past. So they clearly have good relationship skills. They've clearly got some level of leadership skill that has allowed them to progress. They haven't just stayed where they are. But they have the subject matter expertise of their line, be it in risk or finance or HR or operations. However, because they've always been the technical expert, they've always been the answer giver. Sure that that's a term. And if giver. It's not, it will be from here on in.
Yep.
Now what we're asking of leaders is totally different, because if somebody wants an answer, they'll just go and ask ChatGPT or any other AI function.
Yeah.
What is the answer to this thing? It saves me so much time and sometimes angst asking a machine than asking a human. There is a very different expectation of leaders, which probably goes back to things like negative capability, or how can you be the container for all of your team's challenges and emotions so that they can be the most effective version of themselves doing their jobs. So it's a really different ask as AI continues to rise of a leader. And that means that leadership development has to fundamentally change. What it used to be was more about sort of just kind of fairly vanilla type skills. Now it needs to be radically enhanced.
Something that's not mentioned in the article, so our last topic to discuss here, is boundaries, which is a kind of interesting area. The right to disconnect legislation is starting to come in. So legislation guarantees that employees have the right to disconnect from work-related communication outside of their designated work hours.
Mm-hmm.
There are concerns, obviously, with this regarding the impact of the legislation on individuals who work flexible hours. So there's a
my children also have the right to disconnect from TikTok and Snapchat.
That's right.
But do they?
Well, maybe we could lobby some legislation coming in. We'll see if we can get that changed in 2024. That could be an in for us. Wouldn't that be great? Parents rejoicing all over the world. The right to disconnect is actually already established in certain countries within the EU and in Canada.
Okay.
So it's coming your way. Do you think that employees should have the right to disconnect?
Of course they should.
We're not talking about your children now. We're talking about employees.
Everyone needs to and should disconnect, because if they don't, the impact is that they're actually not servicing the organisation that they work for in a particularly productive way. If you don't have your downtime and you don't switch off, then you're never bringing the best version of you when you are space.
Yeah.
Legislation will help to some degree to put boundaries back in place. But here's a little conundrum. If people are asking to be working at home, then the physical boundary does not exist. We've smashed that physical boundary. People are working at kitchen tables or on their bed or wherever it actually suits them. So it's a tricky one to then say an employer has breached a boundary when the physical boundary is gone.
Yeah.
So what does that breach actually look like? The other piece that goes with that is people are starting to more and more so pick the hours that they work. Mm. So, you know, an individual may choose that they're more effective between the hours of 9 p.m. and 1 a.m.
Yeah.
They could therefore be sending emails through to other people at that time, and then is that considered a breach? So
I
would suggest, as maybe I do too often, the legislation's not going to change that. It's the culture that you create in the organisation that people feel safe to be able to work the way that they like in a form that they like. And it comes back to a bit of personal responsibility to create boundaries for yourself.
Very good, Kate. Very, very good. What has been great also is just if we look at a personal level, our producer here, Sophie. Wonderful job, Sophie. Sophie went round to our team to ask them about their ins and outs for 2024.
What'd you find out, Soph?
Some interesting things. So I'll give you a couple of my highlights. We can't talk about who these came from, but I've got a fair idea. So what's in for 2024? Communal lunch breaks, neat desks. That's an in.
Neat desks.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So did you hear that?
I feel personally attacked. I used to work next to Chris and then he moved.
Well, that's true. It was a messy desk. I had to go. Thankfully, here's one for me I'm looking forward to. Wide leg pants this year. That's an in. Crypto pets. I don't know what that is, which is why I've highlighted it.
Crypto pets. Okay, let's talk that one through.
Crypto pets.
As in it's going to make you money?
Why are you looking at me when I said
is this a pet that goes up and down in value with the stock market?
Well, that's a good one.
Guess everyone has one guess who they think it was.
Marlene.
Amy.
Sky.
Sky, crypto pets. How about that? Here's a good one. Simple, direct and informal business speak. That will. That's a good
That's in?
That's in. It's coming in. So we're getting rid of the guff, in with the fluff.
That was mine, and I said no one really knows what low-hanging fruit is.
Oh.
What does that mean?
It means the fruit is low on the tree. You grew up on a farm. How hard could it be? The fruit is low. You can pick it and eat it.
But at a business meeting, someone's like, low-hanging fruit, and I'm like, all I'm thinking about now is food, and I'm also confused what the low-hanging fruit is. So let's just...
Okay. Well, with your low-hanging fruit, you could also have a vodka...
A vodka? What fruit are you picking?
A vodka-rita.
The potatoes?
You could also have a vodka reader, which is in for 2024. So that's good news. On your clean desk with your wide leg pants, you could have a vodka reader.
But what is it?
I'm assuming it's a vodka margarita.
That was Marlene. That one was her.
Okay. What's out, and you'll be disappointed with this, Gabe, saying the phrase high level. That's gone for 2024.
That is actually difficult for me.
Okay.
I do a lot of high level.
Here's another one that's going to challenge you. Only having one pair of office shoes. Done.
That's out.
That's out, yep.
Only having one pair.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm also in trouble because I actually do only wear the same pair of shoes every single day.
Okay, all right. You heard it first here, listeners. What else is out? Kale.
No way.
Yep,
kale. Who came up with this list? These are all the things that are in.
This is a very highbrow list, Gabe. Don't question it.
Love
also,
kale.
Filters.
Particularly when you put it in the air fryer, you add some salt. It's yummy.
Filters and motivational porn is gone.
What is motivational porn?
Stop talking. And the last one is shitty ChatGPT content.
I got to speak
God.
To they're ringing me. Hang on. Hi, Mark.
Now that Gabe stepped out, there's a couple of things that as a producer I feel like were cut off the list that I really wanted included in there.
Yeah.
The ins that I think are really important to discuss were walking meetings.
Yep.
Homegrown produce.
Homegrown projects.
More office photos on the board. Saying what I mean. Plant parenting.
Plant parenting. What does that mean?
I think it means looking after plants. You know what Marlene does with all the watering?
Is this new? I feel like
I agree.
I feel like we've had plants for a while that hopefully have been looked after. But anyway, keep going.
Team offsites in pretty locations, office banter, and meetings on the couch and off the screen.
Meetings on the couch and off the screen. You need a couch to do that first, folks, just saying.
And just so you know, we have the best couch.
It is a good couch. But these are good. These are. What does this tell you, though, in the suggestions of what some of our team have come back with?
I feel like it's interesting because, as Gabe was saying earlier, what does the office of the future look like? And I feel like these ins from our team clearly show that they're looking for an office that they can like bring themselves, they can dress comfy, they can put photos up. So they're kind of merging the home and the office environment.
Yeah.
It's like they're keen to come back, but only if the office provides that like comfort and connection that they get when they're from home.
So the office needs to be a combination of the comfort and the warmth and the connectedness that they find at home, the welcoming aspect
of
home brought into the office, which then... It must do something. It promotes better connection and conversation with your workmates.
I think that's what it comes down to. And it's like rejecting all those old ideals. Like if you look at some of the other things that were rejected, having 100 tabs open, fixed career paths, I'm not sure, but I'm just popping it in there. The I don't know what the filter is, but the motivational porn, that's like, you know, all those things you see, the reels on TikTok, which is like, if you don't get up at 5 a.m. and write millions of pages in your journal and go in an ice bath and then in a sauna and then get to work and eat raw vegan diet, you will not be successful. Right. It's like rejecting all of that type of stuff. And it's going back to where were we maybe 5 years ago before the pandemic? What did it look like?
Yeah, right.
How can we kind of reframe that?
Yeah. Good. Okay. My ins this year. What are my ins? I haven't really spent much time. I like plant parenting, but that's just a continued in. I think barbecuing is an in, and tree pruning.
Surely barbecuing and tree pruning have been in for a while.
Sophie, don't question the validity of my research. This is what's in for 2024. A lot of ins, a lot of outs.
And a lot of strands in the air.
A lot of strands to keep in my head, man. Thanks for talking.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
This episode of The Culture Commute was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Interchange acknowledges that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land. For more information about Interchange, see the show notes for links to our social media and our website.